My name is Charles Edward Cornish. I was born in 1930 at Greenlee. My father was called Frank Cornish. My mother was Louisa Cornish. My oldest stepsister was Clarice. My other stepsister was Mabel. And my stepbrother was Albert West. Then my sister was Doris Cornish. Then there were myself, Charles. Then my brother Ernest Cornish. Then there was Philip Cornish. Then there was Derek Cornish. And then there was my sister, Brenda. Some got married, you see, and were leaving the house, but when we were all together, that were them.
How come you had stepsisters? Had your dad remarried or your mum?
My mother. She were a West. So they called the first lot West, they called us Cornish.
What had happened there? The dad died or...?
I have no idea.
What did your dad do?
He worked at the pit for all his life, but he was called break of war with the Minute Territorials. They called him straight up out at pit to go to war. He was going over to France when the Germans were pushing them all into sea. So the ship they were in, we all soldiers on, they sent them the other way and sent them to Italy. So I finished up in Italy as a cook.
And did he survive the war?
Yes, yeah.
He came back afterwards?
Yeah, he came back after the war. Back at barracks. When we found him, he was at barracks. And the funny thing about it, I was walking by the barracks and this bloke out at cookhouse shouted to me. I stood there and he come to me and he says to me, so I was working at Waddington's when it was VJ Day, because they give us a day off, and I was working at Waddington's. I'd be about 14 or 15, and he shouted to me, and he come over, he says, do you know Mrs. Cornish? So I says, yes, why? He says, well, just wait here a minute. He went back, made a parcel up and gave me it. He said, will you take that? I said, don't you know me? He says, no, why? I said, well, I'm only your son. I said, we haven't heard of it. We haven't heard from you for the last 5 years at war. I said, my mother's going nuts about it. So I said, she'll be down here as soon as I get home. And she did. As soon as I took her and tell her, she was straight down there.
And he hadn't been in touch with you at all while he was away?
No, he never read a letter.
So did he get a ticking off then when your mum found
him? Well, definitely.
Yeah. Did he have many stories to tell about where he'd been and...
No, well, only tell them like it. Well, I mean, I didn't take much notice when I was that age. All I was bothered about was going out because I was boxing at cadets. So I didn't bother much about what they say. Never said much anyways.
He worked at Water Egg, you say. Did he ever say how old he was when he went to the pit?
No. All I knew, he worked at pit all the time.
And he worked underground?
Yeah. Two of my brothers, they went at pit. But I went to work at tire distillers.
When you were a boy and living in Greenlee, can you remember the pit?
I knew pit, but I just got on stacks collecting coal for fire. And them days, you used to have a trolley, get a bag, go get some, take it home.
And that was for your own fire,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah.
Was that allowed?
No, well, nobody used to say out, but you weren't supposed to do.
What else did you do then when you were a lad? Did you do anything like picking peas or out like that?
Oh, yeah, I used to go tatey nobbling up Swillington.
You get paid for that?
Yeah, I used to get paid for it. You fill a sack and they paid you for what you picked it, sacks. So, and then they always give you a bucket full of roasters to take home.
And was your mum happy for that?
Oh, aye. Well, in them days, you had to be, because you mostly grew your own vegetables and everything you had then.
Did your dad have a hobby?
No. I had to duck down, and with being oldest, she showed me how to put the seeds in, and she said, "That's your job now, your garden." And I were only about 10 or something like that. She made me do all gardening.
Because those houses that you lived in were quite new then, weren't they? They were new council houses about the in the 1930s.
No, them weren't. No, the others were new. Down Albert Road. And then they weren't new ones. They were just building them after the war. But ours were.
So they've been around a bit as
well. Ours had, yeah.
Right.
When they dropped them bombs up at, what they call it, up there somewhere, it split out one of our houses down right corner like that. He spread it down in the bedroom, he put your hand in, all the way down.
How far was the bomb away then? Where was it? Where did it
land? Over there somewhere.
In Woodlesford?
No, other side of Leeds there it was. But the flour mills or something over there.
Right.
Anyway, that's where it was.
And it was big enough to damage your house?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Didn't do a lot of damage round here, but it did as it cracked it, because it was old house.
Did your mum have a job? Did she work anywhere?
Yeah, she worked at De La Rose in Waddington's, where they made money. She worked in there.
Proper money as opposed to monopoly money?
No, proper money.
Yeah.
Frauding.
Is that how you got your job at Waddington's then?
No. I went to Tar Alley first. Tar Distillers.
Tar Alley?
Yeah, bottom of Sturton Road there. Where a couple works is, it was next to them. And my wife got me on it. Well, I want my wife, then my girlfriend got me on at Waddington's.
What can you remember about the railway then when you were younger?
Well, I can't remember a lot. I used to go watching them take the pigeons there. Station master used to put them on train to different parts. And they used to let them go other end for training them. And then when I started with pigeons, I used to do the same then. And they used to put them on and send them off with train to a certain one. And then they used to let them go at Sheffield. It's where they used to go that way. And we used to wait for them coming home from them. That's what we used to train.
How long did it take them to get home once they'd been released?
It didn't take long. About half an hour, three quarters of an hour.
As quick as that?
Yeah. See, if they've got wind at back of them, it blew them home. But if they got wind again, them, they were later. Because they held them back, they were fighting again.
How did your interest in pigeons start?
I was 14. I just started work at Tar Distillers at 14. And a lad there that pigeons. He says, "Come up and see him." And I went up. He says, "If you want to start with pigeons, I'll give you a pair to start with." So I went home and knocked up together, and that's how I started with two pigeons. And one of them pigeons won me a race from France, and the next morning it died. And when we looked at it, it pellets in it from an air gun, pellets in its chest.
But it still won the race?
Yeah, and it died with lead poisoning, I should imagine, where it had been shot. And that's when I started with them.
How much money would you win if you won a race like that then?
I can't remember then. Because what you do, you see, you don't get no money while end of season. And then they reckon all your wins, your seconds and your thirds together. And then they share the money out that way.
And how many people around here were doing pigeons in that?
Oh, they were... come from Swilling. I think we had 27 members then. It was the biggest club around here, you know, in area.
And what was its title? What did you call it?
It was Woodlesford Homing Union. But it went with what? If you flew with Leeds area, you come under Leeds Union. If you flew back to Nash that way or at Garford, it come under their union. So...
you could be in different...
You were in
unions.
Different ones all the time. Some used to fly two ways. Then they had plenty of money. Could fly two ways and plenty of pigeons.
And the other people in the Woodlesford Union then, Can you remember any of them? Were they mostly people who worked at the pit?
Yeah. There was one single man, George, forgot his second name.
Off the railway?
Yeah, he worked at railway, and others were. Well, there were two Campbells, they both worked at pit. There were Jack Campbell, Jeff Lilly, he worked at pit. He was one of them flyers down here. No, one worked at Copperworks. A lot of them worked at pit.
And where did you have your meetings?
It'd be Oshu's. Oshu's down at Alton. I think that we made that the headquarters then. Then we went from there to Pointers. Went from Pointers to Swilliam Pub, on the left-hand side. Then we changed over and went to right-hand side to Club. And now we fly with Little Club but back at Big Club. So we're flying from to Miners Welfare now. No, Miners Social Club.
And you're still doing it?
Yeah.
Was the interest to do with how much money you could make, or was it to do with looking after the birds?
Well, I mean, you try to win for money, like it's obvious, but I were like this, I just like having pigeons. I was happy if I didn't win, because I was there on a Saturday waiting for them coming in, and it were a thrill to watch your North pigeons coming home, and if yours were first, and you're definitely about to get it in before others. So it was. I used to enjoy it, and I still do.
It was as good as horse racing then, that's...
Well, it was like, yeah, yeah.
And how many birds would you keep at any one time?
It just depends. You see, because you're flying your old ones, and you're also breeding young ones to take over after old ones finish for your young ones to start later on. So you could have plenty, 30, 40 at a time.
And from those first two birds that you got, did you breed all your own birds? Or?
Yeah, well, I bought some more then. I was working. I saved a bit of money up at work because I had like a little savings thing at work. And you take off your wage. And I saved a bit of money up and I went and bought half a dozen from Marcarella's at Leicester, big racing man. Went and bought them from there. And that's when I started breeding my own and raising them.
Tell me a bit more about where you kept them, because you kept them near here, didn't you?
Over at Station, in gardens at Station.
Just tell me what you would do on any day when you went across there.
Well, I'd ends and all, you see, and I had my dog over there. So when I come home from work and had my tea, I was straight down here from Green Lee, straight down to Pigeons. And my dog, and we had some hens and all, and so it took me another 2 hours there. They all had them by one. There were seven of us up there with pigeons, and one old kid just had his garden. All the rest of us had pigeons.
And did you have to pay rent for the land?
Yeah, to the railway. And then railway sell them to Emmett. Big house at the top there, and they started charging us, and I don't know what happened then, but we used to go over the railway, up the banking, and there were a path straight to gardens. Railway cut it all off, tell us we couldn't use it. They wouldn't let us go other way because they were private houses, so we had to come out. So we had to leave the gardens then. So I got back a house then here when I got married, moved up across here.
When you first were by the railway, what was it like going over the tracks to get to them?
Well, there were green lights and that there anyway, track were there, and it just walked up a little banking. It wasn't much of a banking, but it was steps anyway. Walked up there and just along top of banking, and there were a big wall cut it field off, and then there were gardens, that big field there, and then gardens. This big wall went right to the bottom to the road, and that cut it off from gardens.
Did you take much interest in the trains themselves?
Not me, no, never did. No, no.
You weren't a train spotter then?
No, I used to go to Seaside on them. That was the best part. Going to Seaside on train. We know when they were holidays.
Did you go on special trains then, excursions?
No, just, yeah, used to just get on there, go to Leeds and get on there and away.
Who can you remember then from who was working at the station? Did you make friends with the porters and the signalmen?
Well, you did with pigeons, because they used to look after your pigeons for you. And they used to get his baskets back for us and put them at back place one next day, because they'd be late back that day. And we used to just collect his baskets and go fill them up again and send them off again.
So when you were sending the baskets on the train, do you know how many baskets you'd send on a Saturday?
Well, we didn't send them with train on a Saturday. The wagons took them, big wagons took them. We only trained with the trains.
Oh, I see. So for the main races, you sent them on a lorry?
In a lorry, yeah, we all cages in.
But if you were doing individual training, you'd just send one basket with them?
Yeah. Right.
And how many would you put in a basket?
I think, you see, you've got different sizes. You've got a basket for a 10 basket, a 12 basket, and a 14 basket. So it depends what basket you send.
And that, like the pigeon baskets had a special rate,
didn't they?
Can you remember how much you'd pay for that?
No. Oh, it's that long thing.
So you could turn up at the station, if you were training the pigeons, with your basket full of pigeons. You'd go in to the booking office
and put them up scales. You used to weigh them so much you paid. Left them with them. They put them up train, went train, come.
And you'd send them to Sheffield for that?
Yeah. Well, that way on. Different places, that way up there. Then went past Sheffield. Chapeltown be next up there, wouldn't it?
So
that's that far as we used to go out train.
And if you were training, then you'd know that within an hour or so, they'd be back.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. On a good day, yeah. Or if it were a bit rough, it could be an hour and a half.
And so did you ever...
I think we used to send three times a week with train. And we all seemed to send that same day, all of us up again. So you used to have six or seven baskets full of pigeons.
And would you only do that in the summer, or would you do that in the winter as well?
No, not in winter. You don't race in winter.
Have you ever fathomed out how they managed to do it, to get back?
I don't think anybody knows. Well, it's same as wild birds. They know what they're doing. They know. Pigeons know, to me. Because they're not the same breed, are they? Like, you know what I mean? They've all got the same brain, surely. And they're all some of the bit docile, and they go down.
Did you ever get some that never came back?
Oh, aye, a lot. Get lost. Hit wires. Hawks. You never knew what happened to them unless somebody, you know, it rained or something like that and went in different lofts. You had them stamped on the wing. They have a metal ring on with a number and a letter. And you used to send it to Reddings. And they used to send letters out to who they belonged to. And then you got in touch with them. You sent them.
So each pigeon had its own number?
Yeah.
And you had to pay for registering them? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had to pay for the number. You bought the number, presumably, didn't
you? No, you what you say, 20 rings. I'm going to bring it for you, so you order 20 rings. Them 20 all follow each other. When the secretary gets them all, he say, put C Cornish number so-and-so to so-and-so, and he does it to them all, then he sends listing to Reddings, so that when people send them in, they just look, find it, and tell them, who's it belong to, an address.
What do you remember? Do you remember much about the brewery? Did you have anything to do with the brewery and the people from the brewery?
Not really, only one or two lads. I used to hear what they used to say. They had a good social club. And every weekend, used to go with lads. My wife and some other lads and their wives, and we used to all go. Just they signed us in.
And this was when it was still Bentley's?
Yeah. We used to be smashing nights there. And then it just all went to pot when they were going to shut down. Because at Christmas and New Year, they were great nights.
There's one thing I bet you can remember about the brewery, living where you do.
Ben, what are you on about?
It's the smell.
Oh, well.
Did you get a smell in the house when they were brewing?
Sometimes. Well, you could, when we're over again, you could smell it. You could smell our hops. I used to go collect the hops on a Saturday morning for the garden. They used to let you go with a trolley and a sack, filled sack up with hops, and take them for the garden. And we used to take them on my garden and smell the bloody beer. We all hops that were in the garden. Because the old lady said, go on it, do the garden, will do good. Go get some hops. We used to get loads of it. About three of us went down, trolley and get sacks, filled them up and all over the garden. And there were old corks and all sorts in it. So,
what did you grow in the garden?
Me, everything.
So you did?
All vegetables. Well, you had to do then, because through war it says, dig for victory, didn't it? And we had to do. So that's when my mother made me do it all. Because our oldest, she made me do all gardening.
But you had a garden up at Green Lee, presumably.
Oh, yeah, that's the one I'm on about.
Yeah, and then when you came here, you carried on.
Only, I still had that there. I got that down there when I come out of army. When I got that one down there.
Oh, I see, right.
Because I won't come available. Well, me and my mate got it. So we shared half and half. He got top half, when I got bottom half, wet pigeons come straight over. All them huts, all facing Bentley's Tower. You know what tower they were up?
Yeah.
They all faced there.
Right.
They didn't look down into valley. No, they looked straight across.
Because the pigeons were coming up from the south.
Pigeons come up. No, they come. They used to break off at Scarborough that way and come inland, you see. So that's where they come up York, Vale of York. So they come up Vale of York and come this way in, over Swillington and them places. They come that way up.
And they always came in that way, didn't they? No matter where you'd sent them to.
Yeah.
Even if you'd sent them to Barnsley.
Yeah, but if they got lost, they might come in from back. Might overfly.
Yeah.
You see, they might come off with some more up there, with some, you know, clashing.
Yeah.
With other pigeons going the other way. So sometimes you got them coming from anywhere. But the ones that you remember, you watch that pheasant coming out of that tower. If you got one in between tower and railway, you know you were in for a winner. And that's what you have to watch for.
Right, I've got you.
That's when they'll come in this way. In between on railway and Whitbridge, Brawley, straight into gardens.
What were the best? Was it the male pigeons or the female pigeons?
Well, it just depends. A lot of them fly at Widderhood, which they have all cocks in one hut, no lighting, and only them out for a fly. And at weekends, they show the. Before they went racing, they used to let them how it ends. Get them going by me, get them in, and then send them. And they used to go mad to get home. And that's what a lad did this year, and he's won more prizes than anybody by that way. But you've got to have patience to do it that way and be there all the time. You know, so.
You let the male pigeons get a sniff of the females,
yeah.
But you don't let them mate.
No, yeah.
And so they're randy,
basically. Me,
yeah. Yeah, right. All right.
Yeah.
I didn't know that's how you do it.
That's how they did it, yeah. But I hadn't time with, because I lived up the east at Green Lane, at the trail down here. I couldn't do it.
Tell me about when the Queen came. What can you remember about that?
There were that many police there. They're all up gardens at top, where our huts were, but we weren't in them then because we shut down. So all couples were up there. They're all down below, holding your back. And She come to talk to us all. She was talking to them and shaking hands. But Prince Philip, upper lip as usual. But she was all right with Queen. She was shaking hands with people and smiling. They were giving her flowers. They were all right.
Did your wife get to see her then as well?
No, because my wife was badly. I couldn't. She was in a wheelchair. So I just got a camera and I said, I'll go down and get some photographs. So she stopped here while I went down and got photographs.
How's Woodlesford changed since you were a boy?
It's all gone to Potter's Woodlesford. Because there's that many houses being built and things, it's not the same as it used to be. Nice and quiet and peaceful. There were no druggies, no. You could leave doors open, could leave your windows open. Now you can't go out. You have to lock everything up. And that's the difference it's made. With all these new houses and everything and druggies around. And I'm sure council, when they want to get shut of some druggies, they send them over here.